Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up? It's your boy Adrian Reese, and you're tuned into The Recruit, brought to you by Sora Radio. Big ups to Petey Pete Richardson. And, you know, I started a new trend on last week, and I say started a new trend, but it's something that I've always done, which is just praying before I do anything, praying before I do the show. But on last week, you know, God was really leading me to pray to start the show on air, pray on air, you know, and that's something that I want to do today also. So before we do anything, I just want all the listeners, whoever may be, just wherever you are, take a moment, bow your head, close your eyes, and let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we come to you today, God, first of all, saying thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that you've allowed us to see. We thank you for all of your many blessings that you bestowed upon our lives, God. All of the blessings that we see, Lord, all of the blessings that we don't even know are blessings, Father God, that we don't even recognize as so, Lord. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for your continual provision in our lives, God. We ask you for forgiveness for all of our sins, Lord, all of the things that we've done wrong, all of our mistakes, God. We ask you to just help us to learn from them, Lord, and learn from others, God, that we may live better, God. Help us to live better on today than we did on yesterday, God. I ask you to watch over this show, watch over the interview, Lord, watch over my guests, your quiz, Father God, and our conversation, Lord. We ask you to just let something be said that you may be heard, Father God. Help all the listeners to hear you, not to hear me, not to hear Jaquez, Lord, but to hear you, Lord. You speak, Lord. You speak to their hearts, Lord. Allow someone to come to know you better on tonight, Lord. Lord, I ask you to draw their heart nearer to you. Draw them to you, Lord. Give them perspective on you, Father God. Give them boldness in you, Lord. Give them peace in you, Lord. Help them to someone to just accept you into their heart on tonight, Father God, and just do your thing, Lord, and just to wrap it all up, Lord, just do your thing, God, as only you can, God, and that's the best way that I can put it, Father God, because only you can do what you do, Lord, and we love you and we praise you. In your son Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, we got a good show for you today, as always, and, you know, like my grandma used to say, it just keeps getting gooder and gooder, but, I'm excited about today and about my guest, Mr. Jaquez Reese. He is my nephew. He's one of my nephews. I got a lot. You know, I come from a big family, but he's one of my nephews. When I moved up here to Dallas, to Rockwall, his dad is my oldest brother. And I moved up here, and I was living with his dad for the first couple of years, first 2.5 years I was here until I moved out and got my own place. But he was someone that, you know, of course, I've seen him growing up his whole life, and he's always been a inspiration to me. All of my nieces and nephews are, and I love them to death. I love my family, and he's always been somebody that I wanted to be a good role model for and a good role model to, and I know that in times past, that when he, you know, he getting on my nerves or something like that, I kind of, you know, go off on him or do too much or, you know, do more fussing than encouraging. And it's funny because God always convicted my heart in doing that. And because God always took my mind back to when I was his age, how I felt if somebody did that to me. And you know, it really put things into perspective for me. But he's a great young man. And on this past November, me along with a couple of my friends, we did a team summit back home in Longview, Texas, and called Ignite. And you know, the whole basis of it was to spark the conversation about Christ and to ignite a fire within the hearts of teens. And the focus of that team summit was abstinence, but not just pertaining to sex, but just abstaining from bad decisions, bad choices, and what it really means. And at that team summit, Jaquez was one of the teens who accepted Christ. And I can remember to this day just seeing his hand go up and him, you know, accepting Christ and surrendering his life to Christ. It brought tears to my eyes. Because I've seen the walk, I've seen his journey, I've seen his walk. I know, you know, the ups and downs that he's had in his 14 years so far, but I also know the potential that he has and how, with God, that potential is maximized. And so with no further ado, I'd like to welcome Mr. Jaquez Reese. What's going on, Jaquez?
Nothing. How about you?
And, you know, I'm good, man. And like I said, I'm excited to have you on the show. But I gave a little bit of history about you, but tell the people a little bit about yourself, you know, how old you are, the school you go to, different things like that.
Well, like I just said, my name is Jaquez Reese. I'm 14 years old. I go to Rockwall Heath High School. I'm a freshman. Most of the things I like to do is play basketball. I like to hang out with family and friends. And basically, that's pretty much all I do. I like basketball. Like, I love it. And I play it all the time. And that's kind of what I use to get away from things. Like, going bad, I just go outside and shoot a couple hoops.
And that's, that's interesting, really, because we see a lot of people have those stress relievers, if you want to call it that. Like you said, basketball, that's something you do to kind of get away when you're frustrated or maybe frustrated or you just kind of need to be by yourself, sort through things. You go hoop, you go play basketball, and it's a stress reliever for you. But, I mean, man, you're only 14. How can you be stressed? You know, that's really one of the questions I wanted to ask, you know, in being your age. And, of course, you know, I'm not that old, but I also remember being 14 years old. And there was pressures at that age when I was 14. But is there anything that you, well, first of all, do you feel like that teens your age or people your age have a voice, that people actually take the time to listen to y'all?
Well, not necessarily, because normally elders and adults take us as we don't know much as a 14-year-old or 15-year-old, and they think that they know best. And some things that we do know can contribute to what they have, but they have a basic understanding of that, but we can add to it.
And, excuse me, because, you know, I'm having a proud moment, kind of like I'm a daddy, but, you know, this is my nephew. But at the same time, you know, what he's saying is so true. And because even now, me being a little bit older, I can remember so many times me kind of telling him to do stuff, and he's trying to explain or share something with me. And I'm like, man, you don't know nothing. I'm grown, and you can't tell me nothing. I'm doing to him everything that I hated people doing to me when I was his age. But, you know, if there was anything that you would want people to understand, whether it's, you know, elders or older people, what would it be?
Well, as being a freshman in high school, you're exposed to a lot of new things, alcohol, drugs. But some adults don't understand what we go through. Like
peer pressures.
Peer pressures, right.
Yeah.
So, like alcohol and drugs. Every day, freshmen, high schoolers are exposed to alcohol and drugs, peer pressure. And some people fall in and some people have the resistance to go against it. And not all people have that resistance. So when a person does fall in, it makes you, like, it's not really, some people don't really know how to resist.
Yeah.
Like, they grew up seeing people do drugs and drinking, so they think
that's kind of all they know.
Yeah, that's all they know, so they want to be like what their parents do or what their friends do.
Yeah, and they basically do what they see. And that's something that a lot of times we tend to overlook, that in me being an adult and being older, I hear people all of the time saying the next generation, you know, they're this and they're that and they're horrible, they're bad. But I can remember people saying that about my generation. But I heard a quote that said the same people who say that this generation is lost are the people who's raising them. And that's so true, because I can sit here and look back and look at people who are Jaquez's age and be like, well, man, you know, they lost, they bad and all this, but I'm one of the ones that they're looking at. And so I play a part in that. And so I can't sit here and think that they don't go through anything. And just like you were saying, man, it's, you know, I'm guilty of that. Of saying, well, man, you're 14, you ain't going through nothing. But it's real. And like you said, being in high school and freshman and going to a school like Rockwall Heath, which is a big high school, a 5A high school classification, and so a lot of kids there. And so some people, it would look like a college campus. So that can get overwhelming. And you know, with the whole with the peer pressures, you know, and I know how you were raised because I mean you're my nephew. I mean I saw you ever since I've known you your whole life, and I know your family and our family, your family is my family. But and I know that your parents they didn't do drugs or alcohol or things like that. But I also know that my dad, I grew up, your dad and my dad, he's a pastor, he's a preacher, so we grew up in the church. Now, did you, in growing up, you know, of course, y'all, I already know the answer to all these questions, it's my nephew, but at the same time, I'm trying to bring y'all in on this. But did you grow up going to church a lot?
Well, I actually did grow up going to church a lot because I spent a lot of time with my grandma, your dad, and your mom. So I was over there a lot, so I was exposed to what happens in church and how church was. So it gave me a basic understanding of what church is.
So what was, at an early age, like when you were younger, when you were little growing up, what was your impression of church?
Well,
what was church?
Church was basically just a place to worship God. I didn't really know a lot about it at a young age. So to me, it was kind of boring, just sitting in there, didn't really know what was going on. So basically, I most likely just fall asleep.
So did you feel like you were included, or it was kind of everything they'll say was kind of like over your head and it wasn't really anything catered to you?
Yeah, what I thought, it was mainly based to the adults because I didn't really know what was going on. So I thought it really didn't really include me. So.
And that's a, I mean, for everybody listening, that's a cry out to all churches, all people, that, hey, our young people, they need to be included. They need to know that they're included. And not just in the church, but in the home. And because I can remember so many times, man, being little and just wanting to kind of be able to participate in a conversation. And, of course, you know, my parents, you know, they taught me respect. You know, grown people talk, you don't. And kind of that rule of children are to be seen and not heard. But, you know, at times it kind of makes you feel like you don't have a voice, or you, even if you said something, you can't, they're not even going to pay attention to you. And with that same thing, it's crazy because that's kind of how it's becoming in the church, too. You know, it's almost like kids and well, even teenagers, because Jaquez, he's not a kid, he's a young man. But even young teenagers, they're to be seen and not heard in the church. But they have a voice, too. And they're God's children, too. And at the end of the day, they can reach somebody that I can't. You know, he may be able to reach an adult who has a son his age, and he opens his eyes to what his son is feeling. And now the dad comes crying out and wants to say, give his life to Christ.
But something I can add to that is, as being a young adult or a young teenager, like you said, a lot of things people don't understand until they become a young adult because they're not exposed to a lot of things in the world.
Yeah.
So young teenagers, they don't really know what this stuff is that they're talking about in the Bible, so they can't contribute to it.
Yeah, and you're exactly right, because a lot of the things in the Bible, being young and the verbiage of the Bible, you know, there's some big words in there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, until you're at a certain intellectual position, or in a certain grade, or at a certain, like I said, at a certain intellectual level, you can't really understand and comprehend what the Bible means. Because there's some grown people right now, even me today, I gotta go look up different words in this verse, and man, what does that mean? Then when I look up that word, it kind of brings everything together. But would you say that's something that, like in reading your Bible when you were younger or even now, is that something that you want or you desire to have more help with as far as from an older person or someone who better understands the Bible?
Well, yes, back when I was younger, the Bible didn't really contribute. I didn't really contribute to it, so I wish that I had somebody to explain to me what it meant, because I didn't really understand it. So, yes, it would help if somebody would actually help me to try to understand, because I grew up in the church all the time, but I don't know what they mean.
And You know, I know I'm like I tell you all the time. Me and Jaquez, we have a great relationship, and I mean it's growing deeper every day because I'm learning more and he's learning more. But at the same time, you know, I'm there for him. My family, we're there for him. But there's different times where, you know, like he said, in coming up on those situations at school where peer pressure and all of this, there also has to be that consistent community of people who, you know, he can reach out to, whether it be family, whether it be friends, or that understanding that he can always fall back on of, okay, well, even though my parents are not here or my uncle or my cousins or whoever is not here, they talked to me about this situation. If it came up, then this is what the Bible says about it, and this is kind of what it means. And like you said, in reading your Bible, is there any type of Christian organization that you participate in at school?
Well, a couple months ago, me and my friends decided to have a Bible study for men because at the school at the time, they only had it for women and girls.
Yeah.
So me and my friends, we went to the head of school to see if we can add on to make a men's program on Thursday mornings at 8 o'clock. So we did that.
A little plug right there, Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, Rockwall High School. Come on out. Go ahead.
So we went to the head of school, and he actually agreed with it to where we could have it. So our first one was this morning. It was.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was a lot of people for the first time. There was 12 people and 4 leaders. So basically what we talked about today, we had everyone gather around and share the names and 3 things that they like to do or 3 things about them. And after they shared their names and 3 things about them or they like, we split up into 4 groups, 4 people in each group.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked like individual work, like what the what they needed to work on, and at the end, we gave them a slip of paper, and they wrote down things they want to accomplish Christian-wise before the end of the year, and our goal was to read them and try to make that happen for them.
Christian goals right now. Christian goals, man, that's awesome, because you don't see a lot of young people doing that. You don't see a lot of old people doing that, taking initiative, where there's no, I mean, and that's what's so crazy to me, because when you have a 14-year-old who's taking initiative, he had a desire for something, but the opportunity and outlet wasn't there. Like he said, they only had a Bible study group for girls at the school at the time. He could have just easily said, well, they don't have nothing for boys, so I'm going to just chill, I'm going to be all right, I'm going to read the Bible myself. But he actually took the initiative, and he went to the head, to the leadership of the school, and asked about starting something himself. And Mahatma Gandhi, there's a quote that I love where he says, be the change you want to see. And that's exactly what Jaquez did. You know, he's being the change he wanted to see, but it's not just him alone. It's him and three other guys. I think he said about three of your friends. But today you had a turnout of 12, and little did you know, Jesus has 12 disciples. So it don't take all that many people to make a difference. It's small groups. But Jesus and his 12 disciples, they changed the world. But it just takes a small group of like-minded people with like desires, with a like passion for Christ to actually inspire change and actually do something to motivate change. And so, man, I just commend you on that alone, just taking initiative to be the change you wanted to see. Because I know that me personally, I can take note to that. Because so many times when it comes to whether it's a church or whether it's a school or whether it's a job, we always look at it like, man, what they got to offer. You know, well, this church don't have young adult group, so I'm not going to go there. But in this church, they don't have a teen group, so I'm not going to go there. Or they don't have a choir or a male chorus or whatever, I'm not going to go there. Rather than looking at it like, okay, they don't have that, but maybe I can start it.
They're saying they don't have the thrive to do that.
They have the thrive to do it, but it's not that they don't have the thrive. It's just that a lot of times we feel intimidated, or we feel like we can't make a difference. We feel like one person can't make a difference. but it only takes, usually it's just one person speaking up before and saying something before there's two other people who are just waiting on somebody to be first before they join in. And it may have been the same case with you when you, I mean, when you and your friends got together and you may have mentioned, who was it? Was it you that brought it up to your friends about a Bible study?
Well, it all started with assembly at school. But it was, they're talking about the women, the girls, they're announcing the girls' Bible study in the mornings. So I went down, got out the stands, and asked the, before I asked the head director of the school, before that announcement for the school, asked him, could I make one? So at the pep rally or announcement, I went down to the microphone and gave out a basic idea of who wants to help to try to make amends.
In front of the school?
Yes, in front of the school.
In front of the whole student body?
Yes.
You did this in front of the whole school? No, I mean, I'm just trying to, I didn't know that. I'm trying to paint a picture because, I mean, that's initiative right there. But go ahead.
But it was on the announcements every morning. So they talked to the school, give announcements about, like, different awards and stuff. So I went on the speaker and asked, if anybody wants to help meet me in the room after school to try to make a men's program in the morning from 8 o'clock. And I included that they had donuts because some people.
Oh, yeah, you know, I want to come on them.
But I told them they had donuts. So for the time after school, four people showed up. And then the four people that showed up happened to be my friends. Or the three people that showed up, my bad.
Mm-hmm.
They happened to be my friends that I played basketball with at the school. So I was really surprised that people would come out of their way to come after school and not be shy in front of the whole school to make a men's program. So I was really excited after I saw the people show up.
Now, do you feel like those three that came after school, do you think they would have done that had you not stepped up first?
Probably not, because we all play basketball together, so we're all real good friends. If it was probably someone else that had to lead it, they probably wouldn't because they weren't familiar with the person.
Mm-hmm.
But because I was their friend and played basketball with them, I think that had a big impact of why they came.
And I just want to stay right there for a second because, man, that's major because all that is that's you being a light. And so many times, I can remember when I first got saved and I felt like I needed to, you know, you hear all the time, you know, people when they're sharing their testimony, they say, yo, you know, I got saved and I stopped hanging around this crowd and these people and all of that. I was like, man, I don't want to change my friends. I love them. They're my brothers. You know, they're my friends. I grew up with them. I don't feel like I just got to isolate myself from them and not talk to them anymore. But it's the fact that, you know, people say you have to change your friends after you get saved, but it's not even that. It's not that you have to change your friends, but your friends will change after you get saved. But me saying that doesn't mean that the actual people around you change, but you change the people around you, meaning you change their heart because your heart has changed. And it's contagious. You know, the spirit that you have and the eagerness for Christ that you have and the thirst for Christ that you have, they're going to see that. And after a while, they're gonna want a little bit of, man, why is your cousin always praying? Or why are you always smiling? Or, you know, why are you always in a good mood or whatever it may be? And then they want to try it for themselves. You know, that's why the Bible tells us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Because, man, I mean, I love food. I know you love food, Quiz. And when I hear somebody talking about how good something is, I'm like, man, let me try it. And that's how Christ is. That's how Jesus is. Because and that's why it's up to us to share. Sharing the gospel is not even so much sharing the gospel, sharing the Bible, sharing Bible verses. But it's just sharing, you know, your desire to want to know God. And other people would say, jump in and say, man, you know, what you talking about is good. I want to taste and see what all that's about.
And like you said, it's like a chain reaction. When a little group gets together and they see them doing good, a lot more people want to join in and be a part of that group and be unique. So, like, in this generation, if somebody got something good and they like it and it's nice, everybody else want to have it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a chain reaction. When you get something good and other people like it, they all want to join in.
So, you take me back. I almost said amen right there. But like you said, when you get something good, everybody want a little bit of it. And, you know, people, I mean, it's crazy because I can't even sit here and describe how good it is to just know that I have a Savior and to have Jesus Christ living alive in my heart and His Holy Spirit residing in me. I mean, I can't describe it. It's one of those things that you won't get until you get it. Like, and what I mean by that, you won't understand it until you get it for yourself. And, you know, us as believers, that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be a light for those who are still in darkness. And that's what you saying, you stepping out and making that announcement at school, and then some of your friends coming, it was, you know, they saw something you had. Or just because they were your friends already, and they said, well, man, I ain't going to leave Jaquez up there by itself. I'm going to at least go see what he's talking about or be there for him so he's not in there and nobody shows up. But all it took was somebody doing something. And, you know, I want to just encourage everybody listening, man, just do something. Like, it doesn't even take you doing something major, like standing up in front of the whole school, but just even smiling. Last week, in having Brian Duncan on my show, he was talking about how he walked into a restaurant and he just had the biggest smile on his face. And a stranger, a complete stranger, a man came up to him and asked him, you know, why did he have that huge smile on his face? And that was a moment that he was able to minister to him. And come to find out, that same man just opened his heart to him and explained about how he was having thoughts of suicide. And he ended up giving his life to Christ right then. But the whole reason that it sparked was because B-Dunk walked in with a smile on his face. So it doesn't take. Sometimes it takes getting up in front of an assembly, but sometimes it's nothing that simple but just smiling. You know, just smile. Like, what's so hard about smiling? It uses just as much energy to smile as it does a frown. I mean, unless you're just crazy about your teeth and your teeth jacked up or something, but you can still smile. I mean, it's plenty of time you can smile without showing your teeth. But it's something as simple as that can change somebody's life, and you can be a light in somebody's life just by smiling. And like I said, it's just encouraging to see a young man committed to Christ, committed to God. And like you said, you grew up going to church and looking at church, you kind of had an idea or didn't really have the right idea of what it meant to be saved. And but I want to ask you, you know, what did it really mean to be saved when you were young? When you heard people say I'm saved and all of this, what does that mean to you?
Well, as a young kid, being saved was going to church all the time to me.
When I
see a lot of people going to church, I'm thinking, well, they say they know God, but that's really not the case. But at a young age, I don't really understand, so that's what I thought it was.
And just going to church, and you know what? You thought that at a young age, but I'll tell you what, it's a lot of people that think that now. They think that just going to church, they say, but it's a matter of the heart. And that's what I wanted to share with everybody. It's a heart thing. You know, it's just believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, and that he was raised on the third day for you, and just accepting him into your heart and allowing him, surrendering your life to him. And so that was your viewpoint growing up. Now, after accepting Christ, what does being saved mean to you now?
Well, now being saved is, like my uncle said, a good thing that I remember is the Bible is like a rule book. It's a guide. You can't make something without the rule book, the guide. And in our case,
let's say instruction manual, because when you say rules, people are like, man, I hate rules, but it's instruction manual. You know, go ahead.
So the Bible is our instruction manual. So whatever is in the Bible is giving you a basic example of what you need to do or what he wants you to do, mm-hmm. God. And following the Bible, the instruction manual, is being saved to me, making good choices and good decisions based on the instruction manual. Just believe in God or in the instruction manual, and then it'll lead you farther than you would ever imagine.
Yeah, and maximizing your potential.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, man, you said it. Like, the Bible is an instruction manual. And so many times, I know you first said, you said it's the rule book. But, man, I don't really like looking at it like a rule book or looking at it like, man, it's rules because, to be honest with you, man, people hate rules, and I'm included. I don't like a lot of rules. And so that I know that hinders a lot of people from accepting Christ because they feel like, well, there's so many rules I got to follow. But even just by changing it to instruction, it still doesn't change the fact that we have to follow instructions in our everyday life. I don't care what you do, whether you're young, whether you're old, you got to follow instructions at school. You got to follow instructions at work. You got to follow instructions at home, your family. So there's no way around following instructions. So I'm no longer accept that excuse of it's too many instructions because at the end of the day, like you said, it's instruction. It's our instruction manual. But we have to understand with anything that's created, when you have an inventor, somebody invented the iPhone, whoever invented the iPhone, they wrote down instructions of how to operate it, how to maximize its potential, how to use it properly. And, like, if something went wrong with it, there's instructions for that, how to fix it or how to cope with it. And so it's just being saved to me, and another way to put it is just really understanding that Jesus Christ, that God, is our creator. He created us. And the Bible is his instruction manual that he gave to us. So when something goes wrong in our life, okay, let me go to the instruction manual, see what happened, because there's something in the Bible for every situation that comes up in life. If you're sad, hey, let me find scripture on that. What do I do when this comes up? Oh, okay. And then, you know, whatever it is that you're going through, there's an answer in the instruction manual. But so many times we get caught up in saying, well, I don't want to do that, or I got to give up this, or I got to give up that. But there's freedom. There's so much freedom in living for God. There's so much freedom in living for Christ. And just like you said, Jaquez, it just gives you assurance in being able to maximize your potential and being able to do what you love to do, but putting God first. And so is there anything that, what would you say is one of the big reasons that a lot of people your age are not saved or why they're hesitant to live for Christ?
Well, a lot of people my age, they like to party and do all types of stuff outside of school and everywhere else. So I guess they think if they follow the instruction manual, the Bible, then they have to give all that up.
They can't have fun.
They can't have fun, right.
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily what it's saying. It's just some of the things that having fun that you do is not having fun. That's just plain
not
good for you.
Yeah, it's not good for you.
So the Bible is not saying you can't have fun. It's saying it's to have fun the right way.
Yeah. And man, you said it. It's because living for God is fun. And that's something that I used to think. I was 22 years old, and I was thinking I had that mindset. I wasn't 14. And I was 22 years old. I'm like, man, I can't have no fun being saved. I can't drink. I can't smoke. I can't do this or do that. I can't go out. You know, I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And I always looked at being saved as kind of the same way I looked at marriage. It's something that I knew I was going to do, but it was going to come later on after I had fun. But I'm a living testament to the fact that right now, this day, I'm saved and I'm engaged.
Yeah, because a lot of people procrastinate being Christian because they think that just so they can move it later on in their life, that it'll still come easy. But you can't really procrastinate against Christianity because you don't know how long you'll be on the earth. You don't know how long you'll live. So don't push things back. You should bring them up forward at a younger age. Because you never know.
Exactly, man, and I'm glad you said that because you see so many people, so many young people dying. So many young people dying. So many young, not just dying like from natural causes, but so many young people being killed. So many young people being murdered by other young people. And back in my hometown in Longview, Texas, you know, that's something that's really prevalent right now. So many young people my age, younger than me, in their 20s, in their early 20s, in their late teens, being murdered. And it's sad that they're being murdered, but it's even worse
that they're being murdered by their peers. And so that's two lives lost right there that haven't even experienced adulthood. That's two lives lost because one person, their life is ended, and the other person, their life is going to be is in prison. You know, that's not a life. That's not a life you want to live. And, man, it's great that you said that, Quiz, because it is something that you can't push off because you don't know what tomorrow holds. And the Bible tells us that we should be as little children, but he also tells us to accept him when we're young. Because when we're young, we can do more. Physically, we can do more. We're vibrant. We got energy. We recover faster from, you know, injuries or whatever it may be, and we can go. We can move around. We can do all we want to do. As we get older, you know, Father Time is undefeated. So as we get older, you know, we're not able to move as fast. We can't get up as fast. We can't recover as fast. And so we're not able to go and really go and share a gospel, go and be a light. We're limited in the proximity of where our light shines because we're not able to move around as much. We're not able to do as much. We're not able to reach as many people. So it's so important to be young, to do it, to get in while you're young and maximize it. And because Jaquez, him being 14, he can reach somebody that I can't reach being 27. Me being 27, I can reach somebody that my uncle can't reach being in his 50s and so forth. And it's so important because we're all being recruited. And like he said about the peer pressure, man, and there's peer pressure for everything. And, you know, you said your hobbies was basketball. Now, do you see yourself is that something that you were kind of worried about? I know you've always had aspirations of going to college, playing ball. Playing basketball was like before giving your life to Christ, was that something that you felt like you couldn't do being saved? Basketball in college or playing in the NBA?
Well, not necessarily. I did think that I could still play basketball in college and be successful. But when I gave my life over to Christ, I felt like I had a better chance of it because I had God on my side.
Oh, man. And that's deep right there because, like he said, that improves the chances. That improves the statistics. And so many days, being a young black male, and, I mean, being young, period, I mean, there's so many, the statistics are against you. And, I mean, I'm just being real right now. Just being a young black male, being a young black man, the statistics are against you. You know, you see so many either locked up or dead or drug dealers or whatever it may be. But when you got God on your side, it increases your chance. It increases, it throws that statistic out of the window because you're no longer under that. You know, you're no longer under law. You're under grace. And that, man, that's just amazing because that's exactly what it is. It improves your chances. And even if you don't end up doing what you feel like you always wanted to do, you still end up landing on your feet because the Bible tells us in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good for those who are called according to God's purpose. And so whether you end up in the NBA or whether you go to college, play ball, or whatever it may be, you'll still end up where God has for you to be. And you'll still end up making a purpose because, like you said, God is on your side and he increases your chances. And, you know, I mentioned when I was introducing you about how, you know, we did a team summit back home in Longview, and that was the day that you accepted Christ into your life. Now, I just wanted to ask you if, was it you accepting Christ that day? Was it something that you had been thinking about or kind of wondering about, or was it just something that was said on that day, or did you just feel led to do it? But what was it that really drew you to accept Christ?
Well, as a kid, I used to be in church, and my grandma would always say, "Who would like to accept Christ today?" Now, I always raised my hand because I didn't really know what was going on. So I remember one time in church, my grandma was talking about me. It was recently, like a couple years ago. And she was like, she was talking about how I used to raise my hand and accept Christ and mess around and say I was saved.
Yeah, using you as an example.
Yes. And I said I was saved, but she knew that I really wasn't saved because I didn't know what it was at the time. But she still led me to lead to believe that because I was a young kid. But as she said that a couple years ago in church, it kind of hit me. Like, I shouldn't mess around and say I was saved unless I was actually saved.
Unless you knew what
unless
I meant.
Unless I knew what it meant.
Yeah.
So ever since that day, I kind of been thinking about it, and I've always been led up to it because every time I'm in church, like, I go to activities church-wise, Bible studies and everything. So it kind of grew on me as time to time as I went to the church, and it just happened to me the time it all hit me at once when you're talking about it, about abstinence at the TV Summit. And I just felt like it was the right time to raise my hand and actually give my life over to Christ.
Man, you know, I'm trying not to get emotional, but it, like I said, man, you know, it makes my heart smile to actually, not just because he's my nephew, but because I know he speaks for so many. He speaks for so many people his age who they really, growing up and being young, they really don't understand, but they also have a desire to understand. And just knowing that he came to an understanding for himself is amazing. And that's what it's all about. It's just drawing others to Christ. That's what this show is about. That's what living for God is about, to be a light, to be, we are all recruiters for Christ. And, you know, I come on this show and it's called a recruit, and I'm saying I'm a recruiter for Christ, but it's not just me. We are all called to be recruiters for Christ, all believers, because that's what God tells us to do in his great commission, go ye and make disciples. And all that is recruiting. You're on the team already. Why not get somebody else to join and sign up? You know the benefits of being on the team. So we want other people to sign up. I knew the benefits. Me and my peers who did the team summit, we knew the benefits. That's why we did it. We wanted to draw people to Christ. I could care less about what people think about me, but I want you to come to know the God in me. I want you to come to know my Savior.
And like that, I'm going to relate it to basketball. As a basketball team, you have to have five people to play. Different positions do certain roles. When you just have five people and the other team has 10, say, they have more energy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they work together more than your five because you get tired.
Yeah, they got fellows that
they
come
got
in.
Fellows that come in for Christ, like the show is called, and what you do and what I do. The more people you get, the stronger you get as a whole instead of individuals.
Uh-huh.
So the more people you get, the better it is, and the better you can worship him.
And, man, hey, he just said something right there because, I mean, man, that is it. He hits the nail on the head because that's what it's all about. The more people you get on the team, then the easier it is and the stronger and the more empowered you are. You're an individual, but you're an individual working towards a collective goal with the other team, with the other like-minded people. Because that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. It's not about me. And just like you said, whether it's a football team or a basketball team, you don't want to have the mentality of, you know, I got to get mine. Or it's all about me. And at the end of the day, you're playing more for your name that's on the back of the jersey other than the team's name that's on the front. And, you know, I say that and repeat that as much as I can because that's what it's all about. Because even just like in sports, you have some of those ball hogs who they always want to rock. They always want to shoot. They don't want to play no defense, but they always want to shine. They want to be in the spotlight. But, you know, it's sad to say, but it's true that's how it is with some Christians, that we want all the shine. And I've had my moments to where I was becoming full of self, even since I started this show. You know, I started feeling like, well, you know, I'm doing a good job. People telling me, you know, man, I enjoy your show. You know, I enjoy your blog and all of this. And I started feeling myself. And I'm like, man, I got this. And I started forgetting about my teammates. I started forgetting about God, the one who gave me the show, because it's not my show. It's God's show. It's not my blog. It's God's blog. And it's not me doing it by myself, but it's me along with all of my teammates who helped me. And, you know, with that said, I just want to take this time to just invite anybody who may be listening who hasn't accepted Jesus Christ into your life to accept them now. There's no better time than right now. There's no better day than right now. Thursday is a good day. Today is a great day. And I just want to take this time to just invite you, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ into your life and you want to surrender your life to Christ, just repeat this prayer with me and welcome him into your life. And so if you're out there and you want to accept Christ, just repeat after me. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, I come to you confessing that I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in my place and for my sin. I now am trusting him alone to forgive me and give me the gift of eternal life that he promised to give to anyone that came to him for it. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, and help me from this day forward to live a life pleasing to you. Amen. And I just want to be the first one to say congratulations and welcome to the team. Welcome to the family. Because, I mean, it's exciting, man, and I'm excited. And just like I said, that same joy and that same happiness that I had when I saw Jaquez's hand go up at the team summit to accept Christ, that's the same joy I have for anybody I see accepting Christ, because I know what they're stepping into. I'm experiencing now what they're stepping into.
And just know, for the people that did just repeat the prayer that Adrian said, just know that you just joined our team and we just got stronger as a whole.
And, man, I might have to have you on as a co-host going forward, man. But that's it, man. You just joined the team. We're getting stronger. We get stronger every single day. And that's what the Bible tells us, that where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. And, you know, so many times we hear that and it's said about, and it's used in the form of going to church. You know, hey, when we come together in church, that's what the Bible is talking about. But at the same time, the Bible tells us that our body is a temple, that we are his church. We are his temple. And when me and Jaquez being here, we're two gathered in his name, God is here with us. And we're stronger because it's two of us with like minds. It's two of us with like spirits, with like goals, with like desires, with like heart. And we're stronger because of that. And when a third person comes, it makes us that much stronger. When a fourth person comes, it makes us that much stronger. And I just want to tell you, you know, all of those who just repeated that prayer, with everything, with being recruited, there's a commitment that goes along with it. And you repeating that prayer, that's your verbal commitment to God. But when you sign on a dotted line, what makes it binding, what makes it lasting, is the life you live every single day. It's not just something that you repeat. It's not just you raising your hand, but it's actually you walking it out and living a life and just making right decisions. Like Jaquez told us before, it's not hard living for God. It's challenging. It has its challenges, yes, but life has its challenges. You're challenged every single day. Every single day you're challenged. And I told Jaquez just on last night, the worst day with God is better than the best day without him. And I'm sure many of you have heard that before, but it's true. If you don't believe me, try it. Don't taste and see for yourself. It's good. God is awesome. So don't take my word for it. You try it for yourself. And, you know, I just want to take this time to really just thank Jaquez for being on the show and for sharing his heart and sharing his testimony, because I know if nobody out there heard you, man, I heard you, and that blessed me. That blessed me, but I know it blessed somebody else out there listening. So I just wanna thank you for being on the show. And you know, is there anything that you would say to your peers or anybody that's your age about living for Christ, and to dispute whatever they may think or whatever they may feel about it? Is there anything, what piece of advice or what would you say to anybody who's thinking about committing or giving their life to Christ?
Well, something I would say to my peers and people like me or want to be involved with Jesus and God is that the longer you wait, the harder it's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say if you're thinking about giving your life to Christ right now, as we're speaking, you should go ahead and do it, get it over with, because the sooner you get it, the more you're going to learn. But the longer you wait, the less you're going to learn. It's going to take more time to learn.
understanding comes with it. And you know, that's basically what he's saying. You know, there's understanding that comes with surrender, because God takes care of his own. God takes care of his own. And that's the same can be said in everyday life. You know, we take care of our own, God does the same thing. He looks out for his children. He looks out for those who look out for him. And like you said, it's no better time. Don't wait. Don't wait. Try Jesus. And, I mean, it's crazy because there's a song that my parents or, you know, just growing up, I used to always hear in church called, and it was just a congregational song where they say, try Jesus. And, you know, the background would repeat, he's all right. But, man, Jesus is better than all right. And you know, I start thinking about that song, and I'm like, man, you know, if somebody asked me how something was, if I asked somebody how somebody was or how something tasted, and they say, oh, it's all right, and that don't really make me want to try it. But, you know, I'm here to serve notice that God is better than all right. He's awesome. He's awesome. I mean, everything about Jesus Christ is amazing. And when somebody asks me, sometimes, you know, just like eating food, man, sometimes food be so good, people ask me how it tastes, I can't do nothing but shake my head saying, that's how good it is. And that's the same thing when it comes to God. I mean, I can't do nothing but shake my head and be like, man, you just got to try it. Man, you just got to try him, because I cannot explain how good he is. And so I just encourage anybody, just like Jaquez said, don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait. Try Jesus now. He's better than all right. He's awesome. He's amazing. He will blow your mind. Every single day he's blowing my mind. And he tells us that if our ways are pleasing to him, he'll give us the desires of our heart. And so all that tells us is that all we need to do is just make right decisions. Stick to the instruction manual. Do what he's asked us to do. And we're going to fall short. We make mistakes. We're human. All have sinned and come short. That's what the Bible tells us. But at the end of the day, Jesus is faithful to forgive. And that's what we want to remember. He's faithful to forgive. There's nothing we can go to him and he won't forgive us. But we have to go to him with the right heart, with a repentant heart. But I want to, you know, Jaquez, I want to give you this time, you know, if anybody wants to reach you or kind of keep up with you, reach out to you, follow you, whatever. How can they keep up with you, whether it be on Facebook or Instagram, Twitter, whatever it may be?
Well, my Twitter username is Reese's Pieces. Or you can just look up Jaquez Reese, because not a lot of people with that name.
On Facebook?
On Twitter. And then on Instagram is Reese's Puffs. That's how you can reach out to me. I'm going to start doing, like, I'm going to start posting things and just daily wise words, quotes,
yeah,
let other people read them, and
just encouraging people.
Yeah, just encouraging.
Yeah, and so, you know, you said your Twitter, but I believe you're talking about your Facebook, and searching your name, just look up Jaquez Reed. There's not many Jaquezes out there. And how do you spell that?
J-A-Q-U-E-Z. And then Reese is R-E-E-S-E.
Yeah, Reese, just like the kid. You know, y'all know how to spell that. But, yeah just Jaquez Reese. You can follow him, like he said, on Instagram, at Reese's Pieces. And
Reese's Puffs.
At Reese's Puffs. But, and you can hit him up on Facebook and just search Jaquez Reese, J-A-Q-U-E-Z, Jaquez, one of a kind, Jaquez Reese. But you can hit him up there. And, you know, to follow your boy, of course, y'all already know if you're not following me already, you can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Soul_Fisherman. And that's Soul, S-O-U-L, because that's what we're fishing for souls. That's what we're recruiting for souls for Christ. But at Soul_Fisherman, you can hit me up on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram. Follow me on Twitter. And you can also follow me on Facebook. Just type in and search for Adrian Reese. I don't really know how many of them out there, but you'll know when you find me. But just hit us up, and for all of those who have who accepted Christ tonight, I just you know, hit me up on Twitter, you know, hit me up on Instagram, and let me know, and just hashtag the recruit _ I'm committed, and just let me know that, hey, you're on the team, And because I want to welcome you to the team. I want to see your face, take a picture, do something, shout out, hit me up. But that's how you can reach me at @soul_fisherman. And you can hit the quiz up on Instagram at Reese's Pieces and look them up on Facebook. But, you know, like I said, I just want to thank Jaquez for being on the show with me on tonight. Man, you are definitely a blessing. You're definitely a blessing to me. You're a blessing to all those who tuned in. And I just want to encourage you, man, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep making good decisions. Keep living for God. Keep striving. And enjoy doing it, man. Maximizing your potential by putting God first, man. And man, I got so much love for him, and I got so much love for all of my family, and not just my blood family, but all of my brothers and sisters in Christ, all of God's people. You know, that's what it's all about. Just showing love, and. It's no better feeling than knowing someone seeing that you actually care. Someone knowing that you actually care. And I just want to thank you for being on the show. Now, is there any final words you want to have or something you want to leave with the people, a little nugget you want to drop in their ear real quick before we go?
Well, like Adrian was saying earlier, the more people you add, different people have different ideas. So as you join the team, if you have any ideas, hit one of us up because we won't think of everything. We need help because we get stronger as a team. So if you have any ideas, hit us up, and then we could maybe consider them, and then we could talk about it. And then maybe it could be on the radio show.
Man, maybe you could be on the radio show. And then that's what it is, man. Like you said, yeah, hey, I think I just found another co-host. But like you said, it's all about you. When you join the team, don't be scared. Speak up. If you got ideas, throw them out there. If you join the church and you see something that you may feel like people can benefit from, throw it out there. Don't be scared because at the end of the day, hey, we're all working towards the same goal. There's no dumb idea. And just don't hesitate. Do what you do. But, man, I thank you for that because that's something I need. That's something we all need, and that's something we all need to remember. Just, hey, speak up. Like you said, just speak up. Don't hesitate. Join the squad and hit the ground running. Because, hey, we on our way. There's no better team. Join the squad. There's no better team. And like I said, you've been tuned into The Recruit with Adrian Reese, brought to you by Sword Radio. Big ups to PDP Richardson for looking out, giving us this opportunity to even do this show. And, you know, we'll be here same time next week, same time next Thursday. And a big shout-out to my guest today, Jaquez Reese. And we'll be here same time next week. But until then, be blessed and be real.